You see, I don't care who you are, where you come from. See, temptation is everywhere. Not only in the street, when you go to church house, you can still find temptation there. But you see, if you're a child of God and you've been born again, you ain't gonna let it bother. Could I get a witness here? Have God been good to you? Talking to you Christians tonight that don't mind being a witness for him. Have God been good to you? But you see, I'm not gonna be like that leaf that's on the water. I'm not gonna drift away. I'm gonna stand fast for Jesus. I'm gonna wait for him. Would y'all join in when we say these words?
storm I need.
Gambling man.
If I were you, gambling man, I would throw my dice and cards away. Oh, I need on my knees and pray, gambling man. Oh, gambling man. You better stop your wicked ways, gambling man. Reason why you should stop your wicked ways, yeah. One day the Lord is coming back, gambling man. You must be ready. Oh, you got to be ready, gambling man. A church without a spot or wrinkle. Oh, gambling man. I'm talking to all the sinners today. Yeah. Oh, gambling man. If I were you,
I recommend the Lord. I tried the Lord. Somebody said he's coming back real soon. No man know the day or the hour, and maybe morning.
Yes, he is. Do right back with more great gospel music right after this important message.
It's the number one quartet station in the world, turning up the beat in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI Radio Gospel Network, Mondays through Sundays from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Turning up the beat with the pioneers of gospel and new artists around the world is all new on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. Catch the wave.
We have more great gospel music coming your way. Just get ready, sit back, and relax.
You're listening to the number one quartet station in the world, and I'm the old Chatham County Country Boy.
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina, in the studios of the NFI Gospel Radio Network.
Make me change my mind. Anointed One. Catch the wave on the NFI.
Begin to reverence the Lord right where you are. Lift up your hand and say,
Lord, I can't even walk
without your hope. got your home. Look at the Spirit moving. Don't hold back, don't hold back. I want you to get real intimate with the Lord right now. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I can't even walk without your holding my hand. Holding my hand. After every little single thing that I've been through in life. After all the hell I've been through. I wish I had a church in here. After all the ups and downs that I've been through. Realize I got to have your hold in mind. Let me ask y'all the question. How many of y'all know, as long as the Lord holding your hand, storm may rise, wind might even blow, but as long as God holding your hand, He'll make the enemy leave you alone. He'll make the doctors give you a good report. All they got to do is hold it.
Let the Lord,
I shall.
The NFI Radio Gospel Network, Raleigh, North Carolina, revealing the truth of the Word of God and bringing forth the Word of God with power.
My husband and I have been watching your broadcast faithfully for a couple of months now, and really have been blessed. We appreciate your preaching the Word of God without compromising. We have a concern about an issue that has arisen close to us.
All right.
We have just discovered that our pastor is a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
We are disturbed by this and would like your opinion about people who are supposedly serving and preaching the true and living Word of God being in the Mason organization. So far in your broadcast, we have not heard Masons discussed.
Being a Mason is of the devil.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Jesus said, in secret have I said nothing.
Amen.
That's right.
The Masonic order claimed that being a Mason is delight. What is masonry? I'm not talking about the organization or the secret sorority, but naturally, what is masonry? Masonry, naturally, is him or her who mastered the craft in cutting stone.
That's right.
Right.
To make a stone fit in the process of building a building.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Are you listening? Jesus called himself the stone.
That's right.
The chief cornerstone.
Yes, sir.
Not a mason.
No.
But he is the chief cornerstone, meaning the main stone that everything supposed to be built around.
Jesus said unto them,
listen,
in Matthew chapter 21 and at verse 42,
follow me. You that's in the Prince Lodge and Scottish Rites,
amen,
the Freemasons and the non-Freemasons.
That's right.
Listen.
Matthew 21 and verse 42.
Follow me.
Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures?
Did you read in the scriptures?
The stone.
The stone.
Which the builders rejected.
Which the builders rejected.
The same
the
is become.
The same is become.
The head of the corner.
Now, the reason why I say the Masonic order is of the devil, you may build hospitals and give scholarships to colleges. That's all well and good, but it ain't good enough.
That's right.
A scholarship don't give you eternal life.
Amen.
A hospital don't give you eternal life.
That's right.
We talk about having a belief that will connect you to God.
That's it.
This is what we're talking about.
That's right.
Now, Masonic order, you say that you have the light. Well, if I'm in the light and I got a brother in the dark,
amen.
According to the belief of the Masonic order, I can't share the light with my brother.
That's right.
Because I take a vow of secrecy.
That's right.
Amen.
And I'm not allowed to reveal the crafts and the arts I'm even initiated.
Right.
If I reveal those secrets, then I have broken the vow. I agreed to have, I believe, my tongue snatched out and my heart cut out.
Amen.
If I tell people how to become a Mason.
Right.
Well, if you are the light, then you should be telling everybody.
That's right.
How to become a Mason.
Right. That's right.
Because if you walk in the light, you know, the scripture says as he is in the light, that's we have fellowship.
That's right.
That's right.
So being that you took an oath of secrecy and won't tell, I didn't take no oath.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell.
That's
amen.
Right. That's right. Right.
Amen.
So if you got a preacher,
amen,
who's a Mason,
that's right,
you got a false prophet.
Hear the truth and be not deceived. Tune us Monday through Sunday from 8 a.m. till 8 p.m. with the Word of God and the very best in quartet and contemporary gospel music. Join us on Facebook Live at NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Join the NFI Radio Gospel Network with 30 Minutes Power of Prayer 2024 here on the NFI, Mondays through Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Power of Prayer. Men and women of God that are coming forth praying for you, this nation, and the people around the world for healing, deliverance, and setting the captives free. Don't miss us right here. The Power of Prayer Request Hotline, Mondays through Thursdays here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, where the breakthroughs and miracles are manifesting in this year of 2024. Join us, the Power of Prayer Request Hotline. Dial in anytime. That's 563-999-3020. Again, that number, 563-999-3020. We'll look forward to hearing from you. The Power of Prayer Request Hotline here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Are you looking for the Word of God? Then you don't have to look anymore. You can tune in and listen to this powerful man of God, Reverend Robert E. Allison, fulfilling wisdom and knowledge from the Word of God right here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. Reverend Robert E. Allison, a man with dignity, a man with power, and a man that brings forth understanding.
When running a race, a runner sees signs along the way, signposts that let them know of their progress along the way. The same is with this race that we are running. There are signs that tell us of our progress. How far do we have to go until we reach our destiny? I'm going to talk about destiny. I'm going to talk about heaven. I'm going to talk about life and death. I'm going to talk about perseverance. I'm going to talk about endurance, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus here on the earth that's coming. I'm going to talk about angels and demons, apostasy, the falling away from the faith. I'm going to talk about faith. I'm going to talk about all things eternal. These are just some of the things that God has put on my heart. My name is Robert Ellison. I'm coming to you from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Be sure to join in with Reverend Robert E. Ellison with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast every Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
Let me see anybody know anything about a praying mother. Anybody know anything about a praying father? Let me see the hand that know that prayer will change things up in you. I need some Holy Ghost folks that know God's brought you through. I just need you to just come on and put your hands together and let's give God a little glory up in you. I wanna know where you're meeting. remember it well. The Lord saved me from a burning hell.
Yeah! Okay, here we go. Prank phone call.
Hey, we got, you know, we're going to try to do something for, you know, like Lil Darryl.
Okay, Lil Darryl.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try it. Here we go. We're going to call. I'm going to go ahead and dial a number now.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Mr. Wilson Campbell.
This is Wilson Campbell. How you doing? Who's this?
How you doing? My name is Brother Springwater, man. Listen, we got paid to actually come by and do some services to for you by some friends of yours, and we wanted to actually call and see about scheduling and see what you had available.
My services. Well, y'all plan on cutting some grass? What y'all do? What kind of services y'all have?
Actually, sir, you've got some friends that have actually spent a great amount of money on you. And what we do is we have a baptismal on wheels service. And what we do is we go and we baptize people at their home. And baptismal on wheels has been, it's a new company, but we've baptized over 1,000 people now. We have a truck with it, which actually has a baptismal pool on the back of it. And we actually come to your home, and we will baptize you in your driveway and make you whole again. So
Brother Water? Brother Spring? What's your name again? I'm sorry.
Springwater. Springwater.
You want to come to my house and give me a baptism in my front yard?
We want to baptize you right there in your driveway. Your friends are paid for the services. And
my friend? What friend will pay for me to get baptized? I've been baptized already, Doc.
Well, from my understanding, sir, that evidently you've had some bumps and bruises, and they seem to believe that you need to be washed and cleansed again.
I mean, that's all good. That's all good. But I mean, be that as it may, man. I mean, I've been baptized. I go to church. You know, me and the Lord don't have no problems. I mean, we all have setbacks. But for you to pull up with your pool in front of my house to say you finna baptize me, that doesn't make any sense to me, Doc. I mean,
sir, sometimes when some people are not able to go to the house of the Lord and get baptized, you know, we're making it a lot more convenient for you. Well, we can actually
I don't need no convenience. What I need convenience for? You asking me to come to my house on a Tuesday to baptize me in my driveway, does that make any sense to you, Brother Water? I mean, come on, if you really sit back and think about it, does that make any sense to you?
First of all, sir, that's Brother Springwater. But what I'm trying to say is
holy water, spring water, it doesn't make no difference to me. You can't come to my neighborhood and baptize me in front of my house.
Sir, what is all the angle? Well, this is what your friends are talking about.
Which one of my friends going to recommend you to come to my house?
I'm not at any liberty to tell you who actually...
Hey, hold up, but you're in the liberty to baptize me, but you can't tell me I'll go see you. But you're not in the liberty. Man, come on. You don't even... Come on. Does that make sense to you, Doc? Come on. That doesn't make any... No way in the world I'm going to allow you to come and bring your pool to my house and baptize me. Then I'm asking you as... You're supposed to be a pastor. You're supposed to be baptized. I'm asking you, okay, which friend of mine is sending you to, you know, letting you know I need to be baptized? You're going to take me out at liberty?
Sir, all I want to know, I've already been paid.
You're not baptizing me. I've been baptized.
I'm going to baptize you on Tuesday in your driveway.
Man, I tell you what, in front of my driveway, you better bring the whole congregation. You understand? You better bring the deacons, the brothers, the sisters, and everybody else, if you think I'm going
to
be baptized.
This is the problem. This is what your friends are talking about. This is why you need to be baptized and cleansed again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is what's wrong. You need to be cleansed. That's what's wrong with you, Mr. Wilton.
What's wrong with me? No, what's wrong with you is calling me in the middle of my work day telling me I need to be baptized in front of my house. If I need to be baptized and go get some holy water, I go down to the church. I don't need you coming in front of my house with all your friends and some white sheets talking about you want to baptize me.
From my understanding, Mr. Wilton, you've missed two Sundays already this month.
Two Sundays? Man, I can go anywhere and get the word. I don't need you coming here because you're telling me I missed this Sunday too because the football game coming on.
Sir, all I know is I've been paid to do a job. I will be there Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, and we will baptize you before you go to work on Tuesday morning.
I tell you what. You bring you, your deacons, and everybody else.
Get all of this anger and all of these problems you have within you, we are going to purge your body and get it out your system.
I tell you what, Brother Springwater, is it that Sunday morning?
You're going to get baptized on Tuesday morning.
Pray, y'all say.
I got one more thing I want to say to you.
That's all you want. I got to go. You understand?
One thing I want to say to you is you listening to me.
What, man?
You just got pranked by your boy Mason.
Hi, I'm Pastor Wilson with True Community Church in Silas City, North Carolina. You're listening to the NFI Radio Gospel Network in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Have you been tried in the fire? Have you been tried in the fire? Well, tell me, did you come through as pure gold?
Have you been tried in the fire? Have you been tried in the fire?
Yeah.
Have you been tried in the fire? Oh.
Yeah.
Tell me,
did you come through?
Have you been tried in the fire?
Yes.
Have you been tried in the fire?
Yes.
Have you been tried in the fire? To know this Christian way, but tell me, how can you know it when you never bow down to pray? Had you been tried in the fire? Only you know that. Have you been tried in the fire? You don't mind letting the whole world know, but you really don't have to tell it if you're living the world we know. If you've been tried in the fire, oh yeah, we want to know. Have you been tried in the fire? Religion, I belong to the noisy crew. You
see we shout when we get happy. That's the way we Christians do. Oh, have you been joined in the fire? If you've been tried, you sing it. Have you been tried in the fire? Are you living right? Are you giving right? Are you walking right? Hallelujah. Are you talking right? Are you singing right? Are you living for Jesus?
Welcome back, welcome back. We are live from the NFI studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and it is 9:30 a.m. on this wonderful Monday morning. Standing by that awesome preacher, teacher, man of God, and you all are ready to receive him on this Monday. I'm speaking of Reverend Robert E. Ellis out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. He is the author and writer of the Biblical Insight of Coping with Chaos. And now, let's join him right here, live from the NFI studios. Good morning, Reverend Robert E. Ellison.
Good morning, good morning, good morning once again. It's so wonderful to be here. God bless you all. Thank you for joining me for yet another broadcast here in the DMV. This is approaching the finish line. Of course, my name is Robert Ellison, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. I look forward to this time each and every week, bringing you the Word of God, opening the eyes of those of you who may not understand certain things contained within the Word. I love to explore the Word of God because God's Word has a way. You know, you sit and you read, you think you read the Bible, but really the Bible reads you. It meets you where you are. Why is that? Because it's the living word. The word of God is active and it's living. That's what makes it so unique. That's what substantiates it from any other book, any other religious book in the world, the Bible. It is the number one bestseller of all time. It will never go away. Over the years, the decades, the millennia, people have tried to destroy it. They have tried to burn it. They have tried to do all sorts of things to rid themselves of this truth. But God is not having it. He said that his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word shall not. It will always be here with us. And we thank God that we have the Logos, the written word of God. We have an advantage over those of the Old Testament who did not have the guidance that we have today. We have both the Old and the New Testament that we can refer to encourage us, to uphold us, to help us in this race that we are currently running. I have to tell you that we are approaching the finish line. Yes, we are. We are nearing that time. And most of you probably have already heard, if you have been paying attention to the news, the attack against Israel that happened this past weekend. Iran launched several missiles and drones against Israel for the first time in history. This has happened, that this particular nation state of Iran came against Israel. And Israel, that's only been in existence since 1948, somewhere between 75, 76 years old. So it's not really, that old of a nation. But Israel itself, in the eyes of God, through Abraham, it was God's intention that this nation be established. At one time, they were dispersed throughout the world. The Jews were dispersed all throughout the world. And God prophesied that one day he would bring them back into the land that he had set aside for them. And the purpose for this is that one day our Lord Jesus Christ will establish his rule and his reign over the entire earth from that city of Jerusalem, in that nation that we call Israel. And so you see all of this conflict that's going on, and this is the reason for it, the conflict, that is, because when you understand that our war is not against the flesh, but it is against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, the rulers of darkness, and Satan is behind it all, this conflict between him and God. So we are caught in the middle of it. God has placed us here at this particular time for a purpose, and we thank God that he is with us always. With that being said, I wonder if you will join me in just a moment of prayer before we begin today's broadcast. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, first of all, in praise and thanksgiving for this day that you have made. And we shall continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we lift up those today who are perplexed, those who are going through trials and tribulations, the struggles of this life, those who are infirm, those who are suffering from sickness and disease. Lord, we pray your divine healing would come to them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, Lord. We believe, Father, that you are our healer. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Nisi, our banner. We pray, Lord God, for the peace that surpasses all understanding would envelop their homes, their families. As much as you provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Lord, so let it be done in Jesus' name for all under the sound of my voice who are suffering, who are enduring life's afflictions. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them, encourage them, remind them, Father, that you are mindful of their situations and you are in control of their circumstances. Lord, as we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, we are reminded to pray for Israel, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for all of the inhabitants of the land on both sides of the issue, because it is your plan, Lord God, that all would come to salvation. You're not just selective of a certain group of people, but Lord, you have created all of us. And so, Father, we acknowledge you, our sovereign God, and we ask these things to be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's topic, of course, will be on the sufferings of Job. I was led to speak on this by way of the Holy Spirit a couple of weeks ago I had intended to speak on another subject, but God redirected my focus, and it's for a purpose. I never question it. When God steps in, I just simply obey. The commentary for this week is entitled The Spirit World. The spirit world is a world that's shrouded in mystery and perceptions. For centuries, notable accounts of the unexplained have fueled such perceptions to the degree of being dismissed as mere fables or folklore, only to ignite inquisitive minds regarding this subject. While Hollywood has expounded on and exploited this subject for decades, many have become intrigued by it. The fascination behind the unexplained has captivated the minds of many. Although filmmakers and producers have done much in the way of sensationalizing the spirit world for profit, the Word of God has much to say regarding this subject. For instance, John 4:24 tells us that God is a spirit. It reads, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Angels are also spirits, as Hebrews 1:14 tells us that they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Revelation 4:5 also tells us that there are seven spirits that surround the throne of God. Man possesses a spirit, as we are created in the image of God. The spirit of man is awakened in the new birth, as one must be born again of the spirit in order to enter heaven. In John 3, verses 5 through 6, Jesus replies to the Pharisee Nicodemus, saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." It's important to note that these passages are not speaking of the water baptism, but refer to first being born of the flesh, as through a mother's womb, and through faith in Christ, one is born a second time by way of the Spirit. Water baptism, although highly encouraged, is not a prerequisite to salvation. I'll say that again. Water baptism, although highly encouraged, is not prerequisite to salvation. If that were so, the thief on the cross next to Jesus would never have made it into paradise. It was his faith in Christ alone that made it so. The water baptism is simply a symbol of the regeneration. The Bible is replete with accounts of spirit beings and their interaction with humanity in the ever-unfolding redemption plan of God. From Genesis to Revelation, the evidence is clear that we are not alone. Some are noted as watchers, while others are called ministering spirits. There are demons as well as familiars, because some of these spirits come only to deceive. We are told to test the spirits to determine those who are God. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That's recorded in 1 John 4:1-3. As the return of Christ draws nearer, we can expect to see an increase of activity in the spirit world. Strange sightings are being reported all over the world of so-called aliens, as well as paranormal accounts that defy human logic. The reality of familiar spirits, as mentioned in the Bible, highlight accounts of spirit beings that can appear as people who have passed on, often mimicking loved ones who appear to those who long to see them again. These familiar spirits can sometimes be brought about through mediums, such as the account of the raising of the prophet Samuel from the dead by the witch of Endor. You can find that in 1 Samuel 28:7-20. God condemns and forbids such practices, as this is witchcraft. The spirit world is complex and requires godly wisdom to make sense of it. These and other mysteries will come into focus as we find ourselves approaching the finish line. And that's the commentary for the week. And now on to today's discussion and topic on the sufferings of Job. I chose this particular commentary, speaking of the spirit world, because this fascinating and one of the oldest books of the Bible, this book of Job, speaks of spirits. In the very beginning of the book of Job, in the first and second chapters, you will find that there was a meeting that took place. This meeting took place in the heavens. It was between God and what's referred to as the sons of God. There's that phrase again, the sons of God. We used that in an earlier broadcast, Genesis chapter 6. Remember that one for those of you who were listening on that particular day. Speaking of those fallen angels who were cast out of heaven along with Satan, and they committed this grievous sin against God, how they left their first estate, which was the way that they were made up, their particular bodies. As these angels left their first estate, their eternal bodies, they took on a mortal manifestation, human manifestation, and they cohabitated with human women. And as they did so, these women were impregnated, and a race of giants came about as a result of that. These same angels were placed, right now they are in one of the lowest forms of Hades or hell. It's called Tartarus. They've been bound in chains and waiting for the day of judgment. The Bible says that they shall die like men. And it's because they left their first estate. And so this book of Job speaks of a meeting between Satan and the other angels with God. So there is so much that we can draw from this book of Job, but I want to focus for right now on this particular meeting, because in it, God asks Satan, where have you been? And Satan tells him, he says, well, I've been to and fro in the earth, up and down in it. So it tells us that he has freedom of movement, talking about Satan. And so God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? Job is upright. Job is perfect. And Job fears God. And so Satan basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, yes, I've considered Job, but I can't get to him because you placed the hedge around him. This is a hedge of protection. And so God says, all right, I tell you what, I'll remove that hedge of protection, and I will allow you to go after Job, in so many words. Again, I'm paraphrasing. And so he does this. Job was a wealthy man. He was one of the wealthiest men of his day. He was the wealthiest man in the East, according to the Bible. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had lots of cattle, lots of livestock. There was nothing that Job was wanting for. Job would rise up early in the morning. He would offer up burnt offerings in regards to his family because he felt that his sons had sinned. And so Job was to be their covering, praying for them. And he made a daily habit of doing this. So after Satan goes after Job, and he basically strips him of all of his earthly possessions, all of his wealth, his children die by a great wind that comes out of nowhere. We could say that it was maybe possibly a hurricane, a cyclone, or tornado of some such thing. But the point is that everything that Job had was taken from him. So Satan comes to God a second time. And God says, well, what do you think of Job? He said, isn't he upright? Isn't he all of the things that I told you he was? And Satan says, you know what? If you will allow me to touch his flesh, he says, surely he will curse you. And so God allows him to do that. But he would not allow him to kill Job. So Satan touches Job's flesh, and suddenly Job finds himself literally covered with boils from head to toe. He begins to scrape himself because the boils were so intense. It says, with a potsherd, he scraped his boils. His wife came to him, Mrs. Job, and she says, you should curse God and die. Job was feeling very down. Friends, he had 3 friends. They were Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They came to visit with Job. They had heard of his calamity. Though these were real characters, the 3 of them. They meant well. When they came to see Job, they were stunned. They couldn't believe what they were watching. They were so stunned that they sat there with Job for 7 days and for 7 nights. The Bible says there was complete silence. Not a word was spoken. But when Job began to speak after the 7th day, he began to communicate to his friends what was going on inside of him. Job began to curse the day that he was born. He was feeling sorry for himself. How many of you out there are having a Job-like experience today? Maybe it's a particular sickness or disease that you are fighting against. Maybe you've come to the end of your rope. And maybe you have had friends or relatives to come and see you in your sickness. I want to remind you today of the things that are going on in the unseen. The unseen world, the spirit world. Because, see, this was not a working of anything that Job had done against God. This is simply what goes on behind the scenes, and it shows us how Satan is our real enemy. But in order for Satan to get to those who belong to God, he has to get permission to do whatever he is going to do. He just can't do anything willy-nilly. You know, there's an old saying that says, he may be the devil, but he's God's devil. And if God allows him to come after you for whatever reason, God has a purpose in it. This is what we see in this fascinating book of Job. So to continue, his friends offered up constructive criticism. They began to speak of the things of God as Job was languishing in his pity, self-pity, the sorrow. Interesting, one of his friends, Eliphaz, spoke of a spirit that passed before his face. It came to him in a dream or a vision, and this thing scared him. He says, "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof." When this spirit passed before his face, he says, the hair of his flesh stood up. He said that this thing stood still, but he said he could not discern what sort of form that it took. An image, he says, was brought before his eyes, and there was silence. And as this thing began to speak to him, it spoke of mortal man. It even spoke of how God put no trust in his servants. And it said that his angels he charged with folly. This is what this thing, this spirit, that had no particular form, but yet Eliphaz could see it. So this thing, it spoke part of the truth, and it spoke part of a lie. Because really what it was doing, it was condemning man, because it says, behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, meaning man, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. It says, this is what he says in 4, verse 21. Does not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom. You see, this thing was coming to bring fear into the heart of Eliphaz. And so Eliphaz was distracted. And even as he spoke with Job, there were things that Job pointed out between all three of these men. Let him know that they had very little understanding of what he was going through. I recall at the passing of my beloved wife, when a friend of mine spoke to another friend of mine, and I got weighed by that friend who called me and said, and this is what my friend said without my knowing. He said, "You know, I feel sorry for Bob and his wife's passing, but he just needs to get over it. You know, God works all things together for all of those who are called according to his purpose." And this is true. He does. But it doesn't alleviate the pain and the suffering that's taking place at the time. And this is what was happening with Job. Job made a statement to one of his friends. He said, "You know what? It would be best if you said nothing." Sometimes people just need to know that you are there for them. Sometimes they just need to know that you are praying for them. Sometimes they just need someone to listen to their problem, even though they know that you can do very little to help them. Sometimes they just need you to listen. And this was the And this was what was going on with Job. Some of the feeling of Job, let me communicate that to you. This is some of the things that he says. As the cloud is consumed and vanished away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. Now, this was before Jesus had sacrificed himself on the cross. This was a time before the coming of Christ to the earth. And so we're looking at the Old Testament. We're referring to Old Testament saints. We're referring to the way that the Jews thought in that particular time, speaking of the grave, that there was no coming out of it once you go down into it. So Job today is in paradise. He is in heaven. He's part of those Old Testament saints that at the end, when Jesus had accomplished it all, when he says it is finished on that cross, and he went into the lower parts of the earth for 3 days, and it says that he led captivity captive, Job, and many of the Old Testament saints are part of the captives that he brought out after that third day. You see, Jesus went into the lower parts of the earth, at that time was called Abraham's bosom, and he took them out of that place. And now they are in paradise, in heaven. This is what Job said in chapter 7, verse 15. So that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than life. I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. He says, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee? So that I am a burden to myself. Job was feeling sorry for himself. He couldn't understand why the things that were happening to him, why they were happening. All of a sudden, his world was turned upside down. He was in great distress, and his friends could not understand. Oh, they came to him with speaking of the things of God and speaking lofty things, you know, super hyper spiritual type people. Have you ever come across them? Have you ever come across those people that did not understand your situation, but yet they could quote to you various scriptures out of the Bible? You have to wonder if they experienced what you had experienced, would they be so lofty in their thinking? Would they be so quick to try and speak to you in ways that would somehow elevate their position? Not likely. Not likely. So this is what Job was dealing with. So, my friends, I think of the Apostle Paul where even in the New Testament, he says, he speaks of he and the apostles, that sometimes they were tried to the point where even they despaired of life. I recall the great prophet Elijah after that tremendous victory against the prophets of Baal, and he took off running because there was a contract on against his life, and he found himself sitting under a juniper tree. And as he sat there, he began to reflect on his life. And he was just tired. And he wanted God to take his life. Job was like this too. And as I am speaking this morning, I venture to say that there may be many out in the listening audience that feel that way. There's nothing wrong with feeling that way. Because sometimes this life can be very stressful. And I'd better wrap this up because I see that my time is running short. Next week, we're going to focus on the tribulation period. Some would refer to it as the Great Tribulation. Questions of it, why is it, when will it happen, will the church be in it, for what purpose does it serve, who will be involved, and where can we find it in the Bible? These are some of the questions that we're going to tackle next week in this exciting subject of the Great Tribulation or the time of Jacob's trouble. Thank you for listening. You can reach me at approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. That's approachingthefinishline@gmail.com. I look forward to speaking with you again next week on the tribulation period. Thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure to be with you. And go tell someone, tell a neighbor, tell a friend. Most of all, tell them about Jesus. I want you to tell someone that there's a preacher here on the NFI network that is preaching the truth in love. God bless you all. Until next week, take care.
You've been listening to Reverend Robert E. Ellison out of Fort Washington, Maryland, with Approaching the Finish Line radio broadcast. Be sure to join him every Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. I got a race to run, and I'm running by faith to the finish line where I see God's face.
Sometimes I think about what the end is going to be. But I want the church to know tonight I'm not going to turn around. I've been on this journey for 36 years. And I'm not tired yet. In fact, we're going to sing a song in a few minutes that said, I don't feel no ways tired. But every time somebody asks me and say, what you going to do after 36 years? Where are you going from here? You know what I tell them? I believe I run on.
See what the end is going to be.
Believe I run on.
See what the end is going to be.
I'm on a run on.
See what the end is going to be.
I got to run on.
See what the end is going to be.
I'm on a run on, y'all.
See what the end is going to be.
I got to run on.
See what the end is going to be.
You know why?
John
I got a run.
On my road.
Waiting.
Waiting for me.
Hey.
For me.
Hey. I think about it every night.
Waiting
for me,
waiting.
Hallelujah. Somebody waiting. Anybody got the Holy Ghost?
In the mix, NHD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. It's the NFI giving God the praise.
I'm in production, doing a remix. Worldwide Enigma making platinum hits. New wine coming, get some of this. Stand and give God the praise.
Catch the wave on the NFI. NHD2.
Oh, yeah. We've been expecting you.
I had opportunity to go back home, and while I was there, I went downtown. Going downtown, I was standing around and I met a young man that was standing there and asked me for a dollar. I said to the young man, I don't have one, but just as I have, I give unto you. Glory to God today. And I'm standing there looking at the young man. Suddenly I realized that I knew him. And I said to him, young man, it might seem to you that no one cares. But one thing I want you to know, young man, you know what that is? That's a blessing.
There's a blessing.
It's you.
For you.
I kept on telling him that. There's a blessing. Good God Almighty.
Ah!
so fast. One day I've got to stand before that judgment bar. Oh, and when the bookshelf open wide.
You know, down in Mississippi where I'm from, we used to sing songs like this. Listen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
I got him on my mind.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
I got him on my mind.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
I got him on my mind.
Now let me tell y'all, I got Jesus
on my mind.
Yeah. Let me tell y'all, I got Jesus
on my mind.
Whenever you see me waving my hand, when you see me waving my hand, when you see me waving my hand, say something. I got Jesus
on my mind.
Yeah.
On my mind.
Whenever you see me clapping my hands, I got it. Whenever you see me clapping my hands, y'all. Whenever you see me clapping my hands, I got Jesus. Shake some glass. I got Jesus. Yeah. Whenever you see me cut my stuff, I got it. When you see me cut myself, I got Jesus. Oh, whenever you see me cut myself, I got Jesus. Oh, I got Jesus, yeah. And by that time, somebody will get happy and get the microphone and begin to praise God. And say words like this, listen, church, I got it on my mind. I got Jesus.
I got it on my mind.
I got him on my
mind. I got
Jesus.
I got him on my mind.
I got him on my mind. The reason why
I got him on my mind.
I got him on my mind.
I got him on my mind.
I can't make it without the Lord. He's been good to me.
I got him on my mind.
In every day.
I got him on my mind.
In every night.
I got him on my mind.
I get down on my knees, I talk to Jesus, I talk to Jesus, I got him on my mind. Whenever you see me raise my hand, whenever you see me clapping my hand, I got him on my mind. Whenever you see me pray a little prayer, I got it on my mind.
I got it on my mind.
I got it on my mind. Whenever you see me wringing my hands and crying, I got it on my mind. He's been good to me. Church has been good to me. Whenever you see me giving up the right for the wrong, I got it on my mind. Thank you, Jesus. Whenever you see me go down on my knees and talk to you, I'll testify. I got it on my mind. I got it on my mind. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been so good. He's been good to me. I got Jesus. I got him on my mind. Let me tell you what he done for me. So many times, y'all. He picked me up and turned me around. He gave me joy that I've never had found.
Because it's the old saints' praise. I want my daughter Benita can get us started with this old song.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
All right.
You will find Him not too busy to hear your prayer. He is passing by moment.
Come here, Alice.
My whole body. My whole
in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass.
like the weight of the world get on my shoulders. Sometimes it get hard for me. Sometimes out of all the good I try to do, you know the devil is busy. All of my life. Let me tell you this and I'm out of here. All of my life, all I ever wanted was somebody to love me for me. All I ever wanted was somebody to tell me it's gonna be alright. You know, I got tired of hearing folks say they love me. But I know it's coming from their lips, but it didn't come from their heart. But I can tell y'all tonight, I found me a love. Found me a love. Can I tell you? Late at night, this love will hold me. When I cry, this love wipes tears from my eyes. And I'm not ashamed to tell y'all in Montgomery, I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm in love with a man. Oh, love. And you know, I tell them away I go, mother. You got folk coming out the closet. You got men loving men, women loving women. So I might as well come out the closet tonight. I'm in love with a man. I'm in love with a man. Every night, my wife sleep between two men. And can I tell y'all, if I had to kick somebody out of my bed, sure wouldn't be my man. And ain't no use of y'all looking at me funny tonight. Cause the clothes you got on, my man bought them. The car you drove tonight, my man paid for it. Ain't nobody but Jesus. Ain't nobody but Jesus. Finish. But won't y'all do me one favor? Won't y'all do me one favor? Somebody came looking for a miracle tonight. Somebody came looking for a miracle tonight. Y'all do me one favor. Shake somebody's hand. Come on, shake their hand. Come on, shake their hand. Let that woman shout. Said, neighbor, if you want to see a miracle, take a look at me. I call it. The more
We gotta go tonight. Good evening. Montgomery surrounded here, we've enjoyed. But I wish I had just a few more folks. Who in here, who don't mind saying the Lord is worthy? I dare you to throw your arm around somebody. It's a neighbor. I don't know what he done for you, but God been good. God been good. God been good. Ain't God good? Let that woman shout. Let me tell you, you know why he was? Because he woke you up early this morning. Didn't he lay you down last night? He watched over you all day long. The enemy thought he had you. He tried to keep some of y'all from coming tonight. But how many know you here anyhow? And you're gonna praise him. You're gonna wave. Wave your... Wave your...
The wave in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass.
In a world where DJs reign supreme, one man stands above them all.
The most greatest.
Welcome to his domain, his kingdom, his universe.
Only one in the world, in the country, in the universe.
You're listening to the Anointed One.
It's live. Let's go.
Well, I guess I better preach a little bit here.
Well. Oh, ain't God good?
Won't he make a way for you?
Oh, Lord.
The song that I got through singing a few minutes ago. A lot of folk don't believe that there's a place somewhere around God's throne.
Well,
but I'm telling you, there is a place.
Oh!
And all up for me to preach a little bit. Y'all got to back me up. Y'all got to say yeah.
Ooh.
You got to say yeah.
Yeah.
Oh! Tell me they got a fountain over there.
Well,
that never run dry. Is that right? But I tell you what, I'm going to like about being over there where Jesus is.
Oh,
no more sickness. Lord have mercy.
Well,
Tish won't have to worry about getting sick over there. Everything will be a good day. I'll be there waiting for her. Can I get a witness?
Over there.
They don't have no diabetes.
Over there.
Oh, y'all ain't gonna pray with me.
Over there.
They don't have
no
cancer.
Over there.
They don't have no high blood pressure.
Yeah.
in Augusta, Georgia.
Oh, Lord.
I talked to a boy that used to play drums for the Swanee Quintet. He had had 9 strokes, but God still kept him here.
Well, well.
And God does. Say yeah. And he does. Not only had he had 9 strokes, but he had had an aneurysm.
Well, well.
But God is still holding him. You know what I told him? Keep on trusting in God. He's good. So I want you to put your hand together when I tell you, oh, I can't. As I was.
I got